Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear the very last verse from our epistle lesson today, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who has loved us to the end, dear fellow redeemed. So this is the third Sunday in the row where our epistle lessons have come from 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, the first two Sundays, and today, chapters 12 and 13, and all deal with the same subject, namely spiritual gifts. So, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are Holy Spirit-created talents or abilities that He gives to each and every Christian to be used by each and every Christian at some point, in some ways, to help and build up fellow believers, for the common good, St. Paul tells us. This can sound a little bit vague, so let me list some of the spiritual gifts found in the epistles. There's about 20 of them, although this is not necessarily all the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And they can be classified in several ways. For example, there are gifts we can call Spirit-ordained ecclesiastical or churchly offices: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then there are miraculous sign gifts, some of which no longer exist, kind of like apostles, of course. Or at least if they do exist, they no longer are nearly as prominent as they were back in the early church of the apostles. And these would include miracles, healings, prophesying, speaking in tongues. And there are several speaking gifts: interpretation of tongues, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, exhortation, which kind of means encouragement. And then there are non-speaking gifts, distinguishing between spirits. In other words, distinguishing between true and false teachers. Faith, a kind of great faith. Giving, showing mercy, serving, leadership, administration. Now, some of these gifts are connected to our natural abilities, but there are some that would kind of appear all of a sudden, you might say. But they are all given and inspired and directed by the same Holy Spirit. One of the lessons from last week's reading was that even though there is a diversity of gifts among God's people, they are still one. They're still united. Last week, for just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. One body made up of many parts. And no part is unwanted, unimportant, or dispensable. Some will receive greater recognition, some greater honor. Some will need more protection or covering. But God has arranged and set up the different parts exactly as He wanted in one united body. The pastor is not to think he can or must do everything. Members are not to sit back and leave the building up of one another in the hands of a few. We work together, in ways we can with the gifts given to us, while at the same time not ignoring the other vocations God has given us within the family and within society. And so that brings us to today's verses, where Paul starts out basically by saying, you have your gifts, use them, and even desire the greater gifts. But, he says, I will show you an even better way. There's something more important than simply using our gifts. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. I can have the most impressive spiritual gifts imaginable. I can know every human language and even angelic tongues. I can be a prophet speaking directly for the Almighty. I can have the wisdom of Daniel and know all mysteries. I can have faith to heal our dear brother who's been only seeing hospital walls and facility walls for the last year and 4 months. I can sell everything I own to help the poor. I can sacrifice my body to save your lives and look like a brave hero. I can preach the most amazing sermons. And you may be thinking, we're still waiting. But if I do not have love, a spirit-inspired love from the heart, it is all for nothing. It is useless, meaningless, hollow, empty. I am nothing, and I gain nothing. So what is love? Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, it does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, these four verses speak for themselves, but there is that handout I mentioned that defines some of them more carefully, giving you an idea of how they apply in our lives. So just to take a couple from that list there. Kind. Serving and helping another, no urging needed. Being thoughtful, sympathetic, and understanding of another, whether he deserves it or not. Not irritable. Refusing to become mad or provoked because another has done something irritating, stepped on your toes, shown you disrespect, violated your rights, hurt you, or not loved you. So these four verses are the most beautiful description of Christian love. It is this love that is to regulate and referee and guide every spiritual gift, talent, position, and vocation you have. Every interaction with others, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the reasons Paul writes about Christian love here, right after spiritual gifts, is because the Corinthian Christians blew it. They had failed to use love as a guide when it came to their gifts. And therefore, we see in the earlier chapters, they messed up in a number of ways. Paul had to take them to task for their pride and their factions, for their tolerance of gross sin, for needlessly offending a weaker brother, for divisions when it came to the Lord's Supper. It all came down to a lack of love. Again, these four verses are the most beautiful description of Christian love, which means it is also a beautiful description of the law, the second table of the law. It is beautiful, but it is still law. So we not only have in these words a beautiful description on how we are to love, not once in a while, but in every interaction with every human being, but we also have an excellent description on how easy it is to sin. If you want to know if you sin, or what sins you have, just go to 1 Corinthians 13. But then, go to the one who gave you these words. Go to the one who became flesh, the only one who kept these words, and the one who went to the cross with all your sins and failures firmly fastened to him. So that is why in that handout there is a picture of the crucified Christ in the background to those definitions. God loved the world in this way. Or to use the words of our text, Jesus and his Father were patient with you. The Son and his Father have been undeservedly kind to you. Jesus put aside his rightful supremacy, you might say his rightful arrogance. He was not self-seeking in his coming to earth, but sought your salvation. God's easy anger was not directed toward you, but toward his Son instead. God keeps no record of your sins because of his Son. And they both rejoice in the truth that you are forgiven. His love for us never ends and it never fails. The spiritual gifts we are given now will come to an end. They will cease. They will have served us well on earth, especially as they are tempered by Christian love. They will have benefited us partially, but a day is coming when the partial comes to an end and the perfect comes. Paul describes it this way in our text. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. This is packed with real comfort. Look at it this way. Back then they had mirrors. They were good mirrors. But they did not have photographs. If they had had photographs, Paul could have used that instead of the mirror illustration. So, you have a photo of the place you always wanted to visit, and it's beautiful. And in that photo is also the person you love and adore more than anyone. Someone you have been away from for years, a place and a person you have longed for. But all you have now is the picture. It's accurate, but it's not real. But then one day, it becomes real. You are there face to face with that most beautiful land and the one you have loved and who has loved you, heaven and Jesus. Paul also gives us this comfort. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, as I am fully known. Here and now, We know as best we can. We know in part. We know the truth that Jesus is God and man. We know the truth that he was crucified on the cross. We know the truth that this was for our sins. We know the truth that he rose from the dead. We know the truth that he is coming back. We know the truth that we will go to heaven when we die. And this knowing gives us hope. But right now, this knowing does not fully satisfy. However, once you get there, your knowing will no longer be in part. We will know fully. It will not only be a knowing of the heart and mind, like it is here, but a knowing that embraces everything about us and all around us. We will fully know and experience Jesus as God and man, as friend and redeemer. We will fully know and be in awe of his great sacrificial love. We will fully know and realize the crucified and resurrected Christ has, in fact, defeated our sin and death and the devil. We will fully know and be convinced that this perfect paradise with this awesome God is forever. But in the meantime, what do? We remain in the true faith. We continue in the sure hope. And today and tomorrow, our lives are guided by the greatest of these three, Christian love. Amen. Please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.